In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. The parable of the wicked slave is a profound story about forgiveness. Forgiveness is a tough thing to embrace, whether we are the one who is to forgive or the one who is to receive forgiveness. Either position can be a difficult one, because in the one, we risk rejection. And in the other, when we are the one to receive forgiveness, we admit to some wrongdoing on our part. Or perhaps a worse outlook, we admit to someone else being right. But I realized last week that there may be something harder to face than forgiving or receiving forgiveness. And that is writing a sermon about forgiveness. What I noticed in most of the sources I read preparing for the sermon was that those sources had to do with forgiving horrible incidents imposed on people by others. For example, in 2006, 5 Amish schoolgirls were killed and 11 wounded by a shooter in Pennsylvania. The Amish community not only comforted the shooter's wife and children, they forgave them. The Amish were reviled by many in the press because they forgave even as they mourned the death of their own innocent children. Another example, in 1948, a Korean pastor named Yang Won-sung lost his 2 teenage boys to gunfire for being Christians by a rioter in Korea. Sung not only forgave the shooter, but arranged his release from prison and adopted him. These are a couple of incredible stories about forgiveness. They are certainly moving, perhaps unbelievable. Last week was the 13th anniversary of the September 11th terrorist attacks on our country. Many in the church are wondering about forgiveness of those who could commit such atrocities and slaughter of innocents, especially given what's going on in the world as we gather at this moment in this church with ISIS, the latest terrorist group rising to notoriety, how we as Christians can have a dialogue about forgiveness on this day, the day the gospel reading has our Lord teaching Peter how many times one must forgive. Now, I want to be careful about what I speak, and at the same time, I ask that you be careful about what you hear. The message of the gospel is clear, has clear implications about our forgiving all others everywhere. Jesus makes no exceptions here about who we are to forgive, nor does he mention anyone who may not be worthy of forgiveness. But looking at the lesson today, Jesus is having a conversation with one of his closest disciples, Peter. Jesus is not speaking to the crowds. He is not making a public address. Peter came and said to him, "Lord, if another member of the church sins against me, how often should I forgive? As many as 7 times?" Jesus said to him, "Not 7 times, but I tell you, 77 times." Then Jesus told Peter a story about an unforgiving servant. Peter does not ask about an injustice from someone far away. Rather, Peter asks, "If someone in the church sins against me, what should I do?" It's important to realize the difference in the times when Jesus is speaking to the crowds and when Jesus is speaking to those in his inner circle. When Jesus speaks to those outside his circle, for example, the blind beggar or the hemorrhaging woman, we notice a story of healing, forgiveness, and restoration. When Jesus speaks to those in his inner circle, there is usually a lesson taught, sometimes even harsh criticism. Today, we are allowed the opportunity to sort of eavesdrop in on a conversation between Jesus and Peter. I think the global stories of forgiveness that I shared a moment ago are worthwhile and even applicable to our outlook on the world as Christians, surely. But forgiveness must start with us. If we as Christian brothers and sisters harbor resentment toward one another, how will we ever go into the world and practice the same? After all, Jesus did say that they will know that we are his followers if we have love for one another. All too often there is infighting in our churches, not only at the parish level, but at the public and national level as well. We have to deal with our own issues, and we have to do it the way Jesus teaches us to if we want to make a real impact on the world around us. I think Matthew's gospel illustrates the act of forgiveness in the form of a parable, a story about a wicked or unforgiving servant, to teach us something theologically and spiritually sound, rather than picking on us for not being perfect forgivers. That's not what the story is about at all. I'll give you my own example. Years ago, I was having a conversation with a woman, a spiritual direction conversation of sorts, about a negative experience I had with another person. She validated my experience as being a tough ordeal and simply asked me, "Have you forgiven him?" The question stopped me dead in my tracks because, honestly, I hadn't even thought of that. I held to the mindset that since this person did some pretty unfair things to me, I was justified to hold a grudge. And since the person moved away to even to a different state, I really thought I was off the hook and didn't have to worry about the situation anymore. Problem solved. Boy, was I wrong. My hurt was still there. Maybe not so much on the outside, but it was still there, harbored in my heart. When someone hurts us, or as Peter says, sins against us, whatever that may mean, we can easily adopt the notion that our resentment and anger is justified. But Jesus teaches us differently. The answer to the question that the woman asked me, "Have you forgiven him?" was no. And I didn't just decide that I would forgive the person on the spot. It took some time. The grace in this story of the unforgiving servant is that both servants asked the same thing to their creditor. "Have patience with me." And we all surely know that God has tremendous patience with us. And this is where the story has its weight. We want to see our perpetrators punished. But Jesus said, "Forgive not 7 times, but 77 times. And we know when Jesus said 77 times, he was using it to mean always. We must always forgive. And then Jesus tells a parable about the wicked slave who is forgiven a huge sum by his master, but then goes out, finds another who owes him just a fraction. Just to put this parable into context or into context where we can understand, this slave went out and found someone who owed about 100,000 times less than the debt he himself had just been forgiven. We're talking Bill Gates money compared to about $100. Jesus did this on purpose to make a point. So did this person go for his 100 bucks and say, "Hey, you know that 100 bucks you owe me? Keep it. Don't worry about it." No, we know that he did not do that at all. Instead, he grabs the man by the throat and demands instant repayment, cash. No checks, no credit, no IOUs. And raked in fear, the man says, "Please, have patience with me." Almost the exact same words the slave used in begging his master. But he refused, the story goes on, and threw him into prison until he would pay the debt. When his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they ratted him out to his master, as they should have. And his master said to him, "You wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not have had mercy on your fellow slave, as I had mercy on you?" And in anger, his Lord handed him over to be tortured until he would pay his entire debt. It's interesting that this parable uses money as a symbol, debt as a sin. This is common in the Gospels because most of us know what it means to owe someone something. Further, the parable is about the extravagantly generous remission of debt. This parable is meant to underscore the importance of forgiveness, no doubt. Why? Because as the rhetorical force that this parable makes abundantly clear, those who are unable to to extend to others the mercy they have received from God are already ensnared, trapped, and doomed to a life of resentment that is zapped of joy. And God certainly does not desire for us to live that way. We don't forgive for the mere sake of forgiving. And we don't forgive because we feel pressured by a Christian belief. We forgive because forgiveness leads to wholeness. Forgiveness is healthy for the Christian community. As a matter of fact, the Christian community dies without forgiveness. C.S. Lewis may have said it best, "To be a Christian means to forgive the inexcusable, because God has already forgiven the inexcusable in you." Jesus is serious about our forgiving others. He must have been. He parses no words in the prayer he taught us to pray, "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." We say those words week in and week out. Some of us daily say those words. And there's no time in this sermon for me to even begin to speak about forgiving ourselves, which I think is extremely important, because when God forgives our debts, we really are debt-free. This is not to say that forgiveness means the embrace of violence perpetrated against us. It does not mean forgiving. It does not mean giving free rein to those who would do us harm. It does not mean a ready submission to those who are stronger than us. The context of these teachings is key. Forgiveness is a gift of grace. It's a reflection of God's love. I am grateful for Peter today, for beginning this conversation with Jesus. And I'm grateful to Matthew for letting us listen in. Asking for forgiveness is an act of humility. And yet, perhaps as challenging as asking for forgiveness is the granting of forgiveness to others. After all, forgiveness heals relationships by requiring us to let go, to turn the page, to refuse the right to hold on to bitterness and anger. Forgiveness, in short, sets things right again. Imagine.